Well, good morning to each one. Thank you so much for the privilege to be here and worship the Lord together with you. I don't know if you know this. Allen County is a very special group of believers in my heart, and I'm not real sure why. I haven't been here a whole lot, but I know that the times that I have been here, I've been very blessed with the Spirit. I've been very blessed with the hospitality and the grace of God that we see at work here. And that has been such an encouragement to me. So I was really looking forward to being back here in your presence. And I said to my wife here, I said, you know, this is one place where it seems like everybody here knows me. And I can't call anybody else's name. And that is a frustration with me because a first name basis is just a good relationship with people. And so I was just wondering, if you folks have any extra directories here, I'd like to take it home with me and just study that thing some and get to know just by picture. And maybe I can call some names when if the Lord works it out to come back again. But we do love to be here. So may the Lord be with us as we proceed. We greet you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a desire that the stirring of God would be here in our midst this morning. Because I believe that when the stirring of God is present, that the standard is high, that the calling is clear, and that the burden is great. And I believe that when the stirring of God and the burden of God land on fertile soil in the hearts of God's people, good things are going to happen. I think about the scripture. When the Spirit of God, when the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you on fertile soil, and God has liberty, well, that just gives God liberty to stir, and good things are going to happen. And so that is our desire this morning, that God would have liberty. I would like to give us three words this morning to lead us toward our title and toward our subject. The first word that I would like to present this morning is called. I believe that it's like God has called each one of our names. And I would like to give some definition to these words here this morning. And I realize that there's different ways to define them, even from Scripture. But for this morning, I would like to say that the called, that is everyone. Everyone is called by God. I don't believe there's anyone here this morning who can say to me that God has not called me, or that God is not, present tense, calling me. Thank you so much. Or that God is not going to call me. I don't believe there's a person on the face of this earth that can stand before God and testify that the drawing of God has never been upon me. I believe that's contrary to Scripture, because it's not the will of the Father that any should perish. And the Scriptures teach us that whomsoever will may come. And when we come, we are accepted of Him. And I believe that is why every mouth shall be stopped, and the whole world shall become guilty before God, because everyone has been called. And so that's the called. The next word that I want to consider is the chosen. Now, everyone is called, but not everyone is chosen. Because you can spurn the call. You can deny the call. You can silence the call. You can ignore it. You can reject it. But you can also answer the call. And when the call comes to you, you know, we don't always answer with complete understanding, do we? Sometimes we just respond in a positive way to give God liberty. And that is our desire this morning, I think about the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. When God called to him, he didn't have complete understanding. How did he respond to the call of God? He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He didn't even know what was happening. "What would you have me to do?" But when we respond to the Lord that way, even if it's in ignorance, but it's giving God liberty, I want to give you a guarantee this morning. When you give God liberty, He will take it. And that is when the called become the chosen, is when you answer that call. But the third word I want to give us this morning is the word sent. And that's not just any old sent. That is sent by God. Called by God, chosen by God, and sent by God. And right here, I believe, is where the stirring of God takes place in the hearts of His people. And it can be a very, very powerful and convicting thing. And that's when the standard is high. And that's when the calling is clear. And that's when the burden is great, when we give God that liberty. So this is the subject that I would like to hold before us this morning. Sent. Specifically, you. Sent on a specific purpose in God's plan for your life. And I would like to have it be practical this morning. Because sometimes when we think about sent, we just think about, well, that's not me right here and now. That's praying for something that will come up, some door that will open, that God will send me to a place like that, and then I can be sent. That's not practical. God sends each of us into the situation that you are in right now. And I want to take a look at being sent by God into your situation. When God sends someone, He never sends them to be out of their God-given place. That is a lack of understanding of God's will. And it's also a lack of understanding of what it means to be sent. When God sends someone, He doesn't send an independent spirit. He doesn't send someone to fulfill the American dream. If that's what you're doing, you are not sent by God to do that. When God sends someone, anyone, He only sends them one way. And we need to come to grips with that. And that is, the way He sends us is as the Father sent me, so send I you. That's how we're sent. That's how we're sent into the practical situations that we are in right now. We are sent exactly the same as the Father sent Jesus Christ into this world. Jesus said, "As the Father hath sent me, even so." I want to tell you what "even so" means. It means exactly like this. As the Father has sent me, exactly like this. That is how I am sending you. And so I want to take a look at this in Scripture. Let's turn to St. John chapter 20. And I just want to read a couple verses here. Verses 19 through 22 in chapter 20. In this passage here, Jesus has finished the work that God has sent Him to do. He has given His life on Calvary. He has shed His blood for the sins of the world. He has risen from the dead. And He is ready now to return to His Father. And that's where we come in here on verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." And I think that's so comforting because the disciples were scared. They were scared, they were confused, they weren't real sure what was going on, and they weren't sure where Jesus was, and they weren't sure where they were supposed to be. Peter even said, I'm going to go fishing, because he didn't know what else to do. But here they are behind doors, and Jesus appears to them, and he says to them twice here, but this is the first time, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Here he is again. And verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. That's the foundation for him to say, as my Father hath sent me, even so I'm sending you. That is our subject for this morning. And I want to look here at verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I want to think for just a minute, and this is a little side point here. But just, what did that look like? It says that Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I'm not sure that what that looked like, but I'm pretty sure of this. I know this. You've got to be really close to someone for them to breathe on you. You've got to be really close to someone to feel their breath on you. And I know that when I'm sick, I try not to breathe on anyone. And the reason I try not to breathe anyone or get too close to them is because I know that they might catch what I've got. And I think that's exactly what the Lord Jesus had in mind here on his disciples. He wanted them to catch what he had. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And so I want to encourage us this morning, let's be very close to the Lord Jesus Christ if we want to be sent, if we want him to be present in our calling in life. We don't want to get distracted from the things or the situation that we are sent to serve in. Let's be very close to the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 21, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. This morning, I would like to look at 10 ways on how the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father, and let it teach us how we are sent into our situation to serve him in this world. And I'm going to tell you what they all are right up front. I'm going to mention all 10 of them. And then I'd like to come back and say a few more things about them. But number one, we need to learn this, brothers and sisters. We are sent to serve. We are sent as a servant with the mind of a servant, to think like a servant with the humility of a servant. We are sent to serve. That is how Jesus was sent, and that is how we are sent. I think God has a burden for us to get a hold of this. We are sent to serve. That's one. Number two, we are sent to be motivated by love. That is how Jesus was sent. For God so loved the world. That was the motor behind God sending his son into this world. He didn't send his son to condemn the world. He sent not his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We are sent to be motivated by that same love. I'm going to tell you this morning, have we got a hold of that? We are sent to serve, and we are sent to be motivated by love. Driven by love. Not driven to bring justice. Not driven to exalt theology. We are sent to serve. And we are sent to be motivated by love. And I'm just going to tell you, when we get there, it's going to change a lot of things. It's going to change our marriages. It's going to change our relationships that we have in the homes with our children. It's going to change the relationships that we have right here in this church house. It's going to change everything when we are driven by love. Number three, we are sent as sheep among wolves. Jesus said so. Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And in another place, he said, as lambs among wolves. We need to understand we are not sent with a huge hammer to just straighten everything out. That's not what a lamb does to the wolves. We are sent as a lamb. Jesus, what was he? The Lamb of God. We are sent exactly like he is sent. Number four, we are sent to reveal the character of God. And I don't care if you're young or if you're old like I am, or if you're an electrician, or if you're a plumber, or a missionary, or a prisoner, or a pastor, or a singer, or a housewife, or rich, or poor, or mistreated, or blessed. You are sent in your situation to reveal the character of God. Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. That's how we're sent. That when people have seen us and got to know us, they just got to know the Father. We're to reveal the character of God in every situation that we're in. Jesus said, he that hath known me hath known my Father also. And we are sent the same way. And that's not only how we are sent, that's why we are sent. God wants to reveal his character to a lost and dying world. And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If we don't do it, if we don't allow God to do it in us, then it's his gospel is hid. His character is hid to them that are lost. What a disaster that the character of God would never be known to a lost and dying world. It's up to us. That's four. Number five, I'm going to put this in here. We are sent with a specific purpose to fulfill. And this is where I want to get a little bit practical this morning. I have a few things that I would like to say about this. And I want to be very careful here, but I want to challenge us with a few thoughts here. Being sent must have a practical application to your specific situation. We are not asked to run from the situation that we are in so that we can be sent over here. You were sent right there in the situation that you were in to be a servant right there, to be driven by love right there, to be a lamb among wolves right there. That is the calling of God. That's getting very practical, isn't it? Being sent right into the very situation that we are in. So I want to talk about that a little bit more a little bit later. Number six, we are sent separate from this world. Loving what this world has to offer is a total distraction to being sent by God. It's a total misinterpretation of God's will. What do the scriptures teach us? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world and the things that are in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How can we be motivated by love when his love is not in us? And that's what happens when we love this present world. We are sent separate from this world. That is how Jesus was sent. And that's how we are sent. Exactly the same. Number seven, we are sent as a disciple. God does not send lukewarm backsliders. He sends disciples. He sends followers. He sends students who will follow in his steps. He sends people who will bear his cross, suffering wrongfully. We are sent as a disciple. Number eight, we are sent under authority. This kind of rules out somebody just coming up with their own idea of what they want to do, and so they go do it and say, I'm doing this for God. God sent me here. Was that right? God doesn't send someone out from under authority. He does not send someone who is not fulfilling the specific role that they have been called and instructed by Scripture to fulfill. God will never do an end run around Scripture to send you anywhere. Does that make sense? That's an exciting thought to me. I can say that with my whole heart because I believe it. God is not going to do an end run around any Scripture to send you anywhere. We are sent under authority. Number nine, we are sent in obedience to the Word of God. You'll never rise above obedience to the Word of God. You'll never get so scriptural. You'll never get, so spiritual, I meant to say. You'll never get so spiritual that you don't have to pay attention to the commandments anymore. It doesn't happen. That's not the way we are sent. We are sent to declare the Word of God. We are sent to preach the Word of God. We are sent to study the Word of God. We are sent to exalt the Word of God. The Word of God is our creed. It's our doctrine. It's our standard. It's God. And His Word will not return to Him void. It'll accomplish that which He pleases, and it will prosper in the thing whereto He sent it. We are sent in obedience to the Word of God. And number 10, beautiful, we are sent with power from on high. He has filled us with the Holy Spirit of God, filled with all the fullness of God. Jesus called it the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know what Jesus called it? He called it the promise of the Father. I've heard promises from people here and people there. I promise I'll do this. And that's one thing, and that's supposed to be a sure word, but it doesn't always happen. But I want you to think for just a minute about a promise from the Father. That's what Jesus called the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. It's a promise. It's a sure word of prophecy. And Jesus called it the promise of the Father. He also called it being endued with power from on high. That's for us. That's God's gift to His people. Is it any wonder that when we are sent, we say that the standard is high, the calling is clear, and the burden is great upon us? We have been sent exactly like the Lord Jesus was sent by God the Father. All 10 of these things that we mentioned, we're not sent to do 9 out of 10 of them, or 8 out of 10, or just a few out of 10 and think we're fulfilling it. That's why the standard is high. It's all 10. When Jesus came, He had all 10. And when we get there, and I'm not there yet, I'm still trying to give God the liberty that I preach, and I'm just not sure I've gotten there. And yet, God works with people. That's the beautiful part of God. Well, we have weaknesses. And so we don't want anybody to go on a guilt trip here and just think, well, that's too high for me. No, God will work with you. When you respond like the Apostle Paul, who art thou, Lord? What is going on here? I don't understand all of this. What do you want me to do? Step by step, he will lead us. God will not reject anyone who says, God, I want you to have liberty. I don't understand all this. I haven't got there yet, but I'm coming. I remember Brother Denny. I remember him preaching about some of the youth. I think he was talking to the youth, and he said, you've got all that energy, and you're going to run, and you can run, and you're going to go, and you're going to follow God, but wait on me, he said, because I'm coming too. I just remember him saying that, and that stirs my spirit, because God is calling us. I don't have the energy that some of you young people do, but let's go together. There's a place for you to do what I can't do. And there's a place for some of us who are older to do in your life what you can't do on your own. God established it that way. That's why we're sent under authority. I love the scripture that talks about to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. There's some preparing here. So may God give us wisdom as we take a little look, closer look at this sending, this being sent, this even so send I you. That number one, that we are sent as a servant. If we want to be sent, we must have the mind of a servant. We must think like a servant thinks. A servant does not think like the boss. A servant thinks obedience. A boss thinks give orders. We think like a servant. A king is never sent. A king is always the one who does the sending. He's on the throne. The servant is always sent. And you can say, well, now, wait a minute, Brother Dale. Jesus was a king, and Jesus was sent. And we know that's right. Jesus was definitely a king. And he was not only a king, but he was the King of Kings. And he was the Lord of Lords and the Lord of glory, but that is not how he was sent. What does Zechariah say in prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ to Zion? He said, O Zion, behold thy king cometh. Yes, he was a king, but look how he cometh. Lowly and riding upon the foal of an ass. And upon a colt, riding upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. Lowly. That is how he was sent. And do we think we're going to be a little bit higher than that? And we're going to be sent some other way? A little bit higher than the Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge you to think about the picture of the Lord Jesus when he just washed the disciples' feet. Yes, he was king. Yes, he was master. And yes, he was Lord, and he said so. He said, you call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. But look at him. He didn't have a crown on his head. He wasn't sitting on the throne. He had an apron around his waist. And I just want you to think about it. That's how he was sent. Yes, he was a king, but he wasn't sent as a king. He was sent as a servant. I want you to picture him with that apron around his waist, with the disciples' dirty feet in his hands. That's the picture of how he was sent. Jesus said, which is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I, the Son of God, I am among you as he that serveth. Would that change our relationships at home? It would. And I'm not being negative. I just know the need of man. We need to get there. This is the calling of God. This is the sending of God. God called. God chose. And God will send. But he sends you in a practical way. He sends you right into the situation that you're in right now. To be a lamb among wolves. And you can say, well, Brother Dale, now wait a minute, what about authority? God gives authority to men, we know that, and he does. But God's authority that he gives to men, and I challenge you to listen carefully here, because I'm not being negative on authority. I believe in authority. I lift authority up. But God's authority that he gives to man will never be blessed and will never accomplish his purpose until also with it, that man has the mind of a servant. If God gives authority to man and he doesn't have the mind of a servant, he has the mind of a boss, he's going to really mess things up. He's going to mess them up so bad that the counselors are not going to be able to fix it. I want to tell you something this morning. Most jobs that need to be done in the kingdom of God do not require authority. Did you know that? Some do. And we honor that. But I'm just telling you, most jobs that need to be done in the kingdom of God don't require authority. There's no limit to what you can do for the kingdom of God if you don't care who gets the credit. If you have the mind of a servant. Sisters, it doesn't take authority to be a godly wife. Young sisters here, it doesn't take authority to be a godly daughter. And men, think about this. It does not take authority to win the heart of your wife or your daughter. In fact, if you try to use your authority to win their heart, you will never get it. Just lay it down like the Lord Jesus did. He laid those robes aside and he came down and he won the hearts of his people. How did he do it? By swinging a big hammer? By exalting his authority? No, he did it by going to the cross. Now, it does take some authority to raise your children right. It does take some authority to be in a position of leadership in a church. But most things that need to be done, all relationships that need to be built, if you try to build them by using your authority, you'll make a mess. It not only won't work, you'll make a mess. I mean a big one. Do I sound like I'm coming on against authority? I'm not. I'm just trying to make it beautiful. I'm just trying to make it work. Like God intended it to work. So may God give us the heart of a servant. Jesus said, I am among you as he that serveth. And Jesus was not motivated by his authority. He was motivated by his love. Big difference. Motivated by authority or motivated by love. Which is going to get it done in the kingdom of God? Yes, we need that authority. God will never require anything of anyone without giving them authority to get the job done. But if we are motivated by that authority, you're not going to get the job done. We need to be motivated by love. I hope this is coming across right. It's just kind of a burden on our heart because I see it in the scriptures. Jesus said, he that setteth at meat is the greatest, but I am among you as he that serveth. We can't rise above the Lord Jesus. We're not sent that way. A few comments on being motivated by love. The motivation of God. That's what it is. Think about it. I look at my life and I realize I'm motivated by other things besides love. For For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the motivation behind it. I think that would be a good meditation for all of us. I've said many times, and I'm still learning this, always make your love bigger than your counsel. Can we do that? Always make your love bigger than your frustration. Always make your love bigger than your situation. I hear so many people say, if you knew the situation I'm in, if you knew how long I'd been putting up with this, if you knew a whole bunch of things, I'm just going to say, if you knew the motivation of love that the Lord Jesus had, and that could stir within you, I'm just going to tell you, when you get there, when you get to the place where you are motivated by love, you're not driven by authority. You're not driven by justice. You're not driven by making this thing right. You're not driven by counsel and trying to straighten that person out. You are driven by love. And when you get there, you will be sent, because you have learned to be motivated by love. God will use you. I believe that. I believe the scriptures teach that. If you cannot do that, then there may still be a work that God wants to do in your heart. And what a joy to give God liberty to change the motives of my life from frustration to love. What a blessing. That's very practical. Number three, we are sent as lambs among wolves. And I want to, we have some time here. I want to encourage us, never forget that. And I say that because we forget that. We forget that we are sent as a lamb, sheep, among wolves. I'm just going to say, wolves are very cruel to sheep. Sheep are tremendously mistreated by the wolves. And so I'm just going to say, you may be mistreated. That's the way you're sent. Things may not be fair. You may have to suffer wrongfully. And the Apostle Paul gave a staggering comment about sheep and wolves. You know what he said? He said, all the wolves are not out there. Some of them are right here. Whoa. He called them grievous wolves that have entered in among the flock. We need discernment in the kingdom of God. We need fathers. We need pastors who can identify a wolf. God doesn't want a wolf in the flock. I think I'm safe in saying that. But they have entered in. They're not all out there. Jesus said, I send you forth. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. That's the words of Jesus. That's what he said. How gentle is a lamb? As gentle as the Lamb of God. With people. A lamb isn't just cute. He's gentle. How gentle was Jesus? Think about this. This is what it says. This is what scriptures testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, a bruised reed he would not break. And smoking flax he would not quench. That's a broken blade of grass. He wouldn't break it. A smoking wick that's, the fire's gone. There's just a little smoke there. He won't even snuff that out. And he's talking about people. I'm telling you, I see all around us in the kingdom of God all kinds of smoking wicks being snuffed out because they're a nuisance. We've got to get rid of that smoke. It's a smoke in my nose. Jesus would not do that. We are sent that way. That's how we're sent to deal with people. Suffering wrongfully, big deal. Yes. You know, suffering wrongfully, in the context there, when it says that God, Jesus, has given us an example that we should follow in his steps, it's talking about suffering wrongfully. That's the context. That's the example. That's the in his steps that we are called to follow. Would that change our fellowships? Would that change our homes? Would that change our marriages? Would that change our relationships? Would that change our outreach? It would change it big time. Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter because he was sent as a lamb. May God give us grace to be sent that way. We are sent to serve. We are sent to be motivated by love. We are sent as a lamb. And we are sent to reveal the character of God. I want you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1 for just a moment here. I just want to read a short passage of scripture that's very, very impressive to me. Galatians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 15 and 16. It goes like this. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, so when it pleased God to reveal his son in me. Well, look at that. When it pleased God to reveal his son in me, in my situation, how I deal with others, how I build my marriage, how I relate to my children, how I relate to my brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the fellowship of God. When it pleased God to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I want to think just a minute what it means to confer not with flesh and blood. Do you know what conferred means? It means to be in conference with. In conference is when everyone's opinion counts. There's some conference tables in the conference room that are round tables because nobody sits at the head. Everybody's opinion is equal. Now, that's a conference table. And Paul said, when it pleased God the Father to reveal his son in me, I wasn't sitting around the conference table anymore. My opinion didn't even count. Only his opinion. That's what it means. We're not doing that this morning. Paul said that God wanted to reveal his son in me, and all of a sudden my opinion didn't count anymore. I was dealing with God. And when we're dealing with God, brothers and sisters, our opinion doesn't count anymore. God understands our situation. We can tell him how we feel, but his opinion is what counts. We have to come to that place. God is an understanding God, and God answers prayers when we cry out to him. So in that respect, our opinion does count, and I want to be very tender to that. But Paul said, when I realized that God wanted to reveal his son in me, all of a sudden my opinion didn't count anymore. And that's where we need to come to. What do the scriptures say about this? Peter says he wants us to be partakers of his divine nature. That's revealing the character of God, is it not? Romans tells us to be conformed into the image of his dear son. That's revealing the character of God. Paul wants us to have the mind of Christ. And when we have the mind of Christ, when we think like Christ does, when we have the same priorities that he had, whoa, we're going to start revealing the character of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And in Ephesians 4, he says that we would all measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's revealing the character of God in me. And it's for all of us.
That's what it says. Until we all come to the stature of the fullness of Christ, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we are sent that way. And that's not just how we are sent, that's why we are sent. To a lost and a dying world. God wants to reveal His Son in us. We're sent that way for that very purpose, no matter what our calling is in life. Every trial that we are in, every temptation that we are in, every response, every situation, we are sent to reveal the character of Christ in us. We are sent to serve. We are sent to be motivated by love. We are sent as a lamb. We are sent to reveal the character of Christ. And this number five here, remember, is very practical. It's in the very situation that we are in. Jesus, when He was here, was probably involved in thousands of specific situations. I think John says in his gospel somewhere that he supposed that if everything that Jesus Christ said and did, if it was written in a book, the world couldn't even contain the books. So He was many specific situations, and He ministered and fulfilled God's will in each one of them. But He was also sent for an overall specific purpose. But the overall specific purpose will never be accomplished until we get practical and apply it to the very situation that we are in. In getting practical, I want to challenge you for just a minute. Each one here, just don't let your mind wander here. I want you to think about this. I want each of you to think about the situation that you are in. Just think about it. It may be a situation involving a difficult relationship. It may be a situation involving authority or combined with being under authority. It may be a situation of suffering, maybe suffering wrongfully or something that's not fair. It can be a situation of patience where things just aren't happening as quickly as you would like to see it happen. I want to challenge you as you think of your situation. Maybe you were sent there. Maybe you were sent there by God in that exact situation to be a servant, to be motivated by love right there, to be a lamb among wolves right there, to reveal the character of Christ, to become a disciple, to be under authority, to be obedient to the Word of God. Most people, when they're in a situation that they don't like, they want out. Let me out of this situation. And they want to be sent somewhere else. But I want to tell you what that mentality is this morning. When you're in a situation and you want out of that one and you want to be sent over there, that's the mentality that he that is sent is greater than he that sent him. And Jesus said that cannot be. He said, he that is sent is not greater than he that sent him. The servant is not greater than his Lord. I'm just going to tell you, you can't choose where you're sent. You didn't choose your parents. They were sent to you. You didn't choose them. You were sent to them. That's your situation. That's where you are. That's where you're called to serve. And God has greater things beyond that. That's not the only thing you're ever going to be in. But I want to tell you how God prepares you for the next situation that you're going to be in. It's by being a servant in this situation you're in right now. It's by being motivated by love right here. It's by being a lamb. Among wolves, if you please. Right here. That's preparing you for whatever God has for you in the future. In some ways, I kind of hate to say this. It kind of sounds like bad news. Maybe somebody's kind of hoping to be a little bit different than that. But that's just how it is.
I think about the book of Esther. Esther was in a very hard situation. She was in a situation that very easily could cost her her life. Right? If the king didn't hold out the scepter, she was in trouble. And she wanted out. But Mordecai told her this. Esther, who knoweth but that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we all know the story. She was faithful. And she stayed. And God brought deliverance. But I would say to each of us here this morning, whatever situation that you are in, who knoweth but that God has brought you into this situation for such a time as this, for you to reveal the very character of God. I don't want anybody going on a guilt trip. I don't want anybody saying, that's over my head, I can't do that. If we fail, let's just repent and go at it again, because that's the way God works with people. I want us to be encouraged this morning. Don't run. God is preparing you for other things. So I want to look here at number 6. And I see the time is getting away. We are sent separate from this world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. If any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him. I did want to read, I'm just going to read to you, and you don't have to turn there. John 17, Jesus just said some very, very beautiful things. John 17, verses 14 through 16, I'm just going to read those. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Well, look at that. It didn't go down too good with the world. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Can't you see that we are not sent to fulfill the American dream? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Can't you just see clearly in the Lord Jesus' high priestly prayer? His prayer was that they would be sent separate from this world. I think that's so beautiful. It's very clear in the scriptures. We are sent as a disciple. I want you to think about this. With Jesus, we read those words in John 20, that as the Father has sent me, so send, even so send I you. He said that to his disciples. That's who he sends. We need to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must become disciples. And what is a disciple? A disciple is a student. A close follower of Jesus. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, and we need to learn this. This is what we need to learn to become a disciple. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him do 3 things. Deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Those 3 things. And denying self. You know, the flesh doesn't like that one. We don't either. And so sometimes we kind of write that one off and take up his cross. We don't like that one either. Sometimes we reject that one too. And follow me. And we all claim that one. That's not fair. All 3. He must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Not just claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus and then seek the American dream. You forgot about denying yourself and taking up your cross. We can't forget about that. When we're sent, all 10 of those things come into effect upon our lives. That is when the power of God is upon us. That is when our prayers reach heaven. That is when God moves on our behalf. The eyes of the Lord are run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for some person where he can show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect before him. That's the heart of God.
That's who his eyes land on. It's those who have denied themselves. Those who have taken up their cross and that are following him. Ooh, that gets his attention. He doesn't overlook you. If you've thumped out a couple of those, and you've thumped out the lamb among wolves, and you've thumped out the motivated by love, and you're going to get this thing right, and you're going to swing your hammer, and you're going to take the authority that you know good and well is from God, and we're going to use it. And we need to do that. But if that's the motivation of your heart, God's eyes might not land on you. Might go right across you to the next poor brother over here, the next dear sister over here. And he begins to move in their behalf. I want to warn us, Samson didn't know it when the Spirit of God had left him. My cry is that that would never happen to us. If the Spirit of God has overlooked us and went somewhere else to move, I don't want to think that the Spirit of God is still upon us. That's deceiving your own selves, the Bible says. Jesus said, "So likewise, whoever he be of you that forsaketh not even all that he hath cannot be my disciple." Whew, that's a sermon in itself. There's a tremendous calling upon us this morning to be followers, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sent under authority. And I'm not going to say a whole lot about this, so I'm going to say a few things here. But make no mistake, that is how Jesus was sent. That's how he came. The ministry of Jesus was the most powerful 3-year ministry that was ever recorded in history. Jesus was about 30 when he began his ministry, we think, and he was about 33 when he was crucified and rose from the dead. 3 years of the most powerful ministry that this world has ever known, by far. How did Jesus prepare for this ministry? And as we look at these things, I'm just going to tell you, you will never rise above these things to prepare for your ministry. I'm going to tell you everything that I know of that the Bible tells us about how Jesus prepared for this ministry. First of all, the first thing that he did, he was king. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he laid those robes aside. He just kind of folded them down and laid them in a neat pile and left them there and came to earth. That's the first thing he did, preparing for this ministry. Then he served 25 years in a cabinet shop with his dad. That's the next thing he did. Preparing for this ministry. Think about it. 3 years of ministry, 25 years serving in a cabinet shop. By going home and being subject to his parents. The Bible tells us that's what he did. I'm just telling you everything the Bible tells us that he did to prepare for this ministry. By learning obedience by the things that he suffered. And by being in the Word and asking and answering questions, in other words, being in the presence of older men and being able to talk their language, so to speak. He knew the Word. He was interested in the Word. He read the Word. I'm sure he asked questions and had conversation with his parents. Three years of ministry. 30 years of preparation, starting out with laying his robes aside and coming to the earth. How do you think we're going to prepare? By going to seminary? I'm not against learning. I'm in favor of learning, but that's not how you're going to learn. the foundation for the ministry that Jesus Christ has for you. We're not going to rise above the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I say it that way? So how are you preparing? We cannot run ahead of God. We can't just think, well, I'm going to seek my way for a while here and then I'll calm down and straighten up and then I'll serve God. Well, that's not preparing. That's preparing to seek your own way. If that's what you're doing, that's what you're preparing for. And that's what's going to happen. And you might think, no, I'm going to change down the road. There's a lot of people who think that. And it never happens. That's dangerous theology. Get in your place. Apply the principles of being sent to the very situation that you are in. That'll be a blessing. Make a couple of comments here. About 9 and 10, that we are sent to obey the word of God. Very clearly, that is how Jesus was sent. You'll just never be prepared for what God has for you and not be obedient to the word of God. We are sent as obedient children. I want to remind you that you will never be able to replace obedience with doing great things for God. There's people who try to do that. They really do. Tell about how many souls they led to the Lord or whatever they are keeping track of. I've heard people say how many times they've read the Bible. Somebody said they had read the Bible 65 times, and I thought, was he keeping track? Was he taking notes? And he had this folder here, chucked another one, and now it's up to 65. I struggle with that. I'm just not sure he was getting what was in there. We need to get what's in there. And we need to let it change us. I know that we do. And we are sent filled with the Holy Ghost. And I need to close here, but I want to say one thing about filled. Filled only means one thing. It means empty first of yourself. You can't just keep yourself in there and then fill her up with the Holy Spirit. Good to go. No, you're not. Empty. Empty vessels and then filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's the only thing filled with the Holy Spirit means. May God give us grace to empty ourselves and let God fill us up with Him and only Him. We are sent as a servant. We are sent to be motivated by love. We are sent as a lamb among wolves. Never forget that. We are sent to reveal the very character of God in your specific situation. We are sent separate from this world. We are sent as a disciple. We are sent under authority. We are sent in obedience to the Word of God. And we are sent filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So I want to challenge you. Are you empty enough for God to fill you? Are you motivated by the wrong thing? Are you giving God liberty to change you? I want to remind you again this morning. Whenever you give God liberty to do anything, He will take it. It is heresy not to believe that. Could we yield ourselves to Him in a higher level? God bless you. Thank you so much just for the privilege of being here in your presence again. We love you so much. We need you so much. Speak into our life. I mean, I'm standing here maybe speaking into yours. I don't know. We need you. Let's pray for each other and not faint, by the way,
in this sad world of sorrow and care, for that home is so bright. It's almost in sight. And I trust in my heart that we'll all go there. Let's help each other out along the way. We can do that. We can speak into each other's lives. You know the story about the handicap Olympics, the Down syndrome, the all the different handicaps of the children lined up, ready for a race. And the finish line was out there. And the gun went off. And they all took off running, hard as they could go. And the little Down syndrome boy was kind of getting out front, looked like he's going to win. And then somehow or another, he got tangled up in his feet, and down he went. I mean, he went down, and he just rolled in the dust. And it. And all the other children, they all stopped. They all came over and helped him up to his feet again. This is a race. They all helped him up to his feet again. They dusted him off good, and when it looked like he's going to be okay, they all took off running again. I love that story because for me, it's a picture of the kingdom of God. There's nobody way out front. There's no big eyes. We all need God. We all need each other. So may God be praised. God bless you.